In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus is the Good Shepherd who reveals the merciful heart of the Lord. That's why in the one-year lectionary this day, though it would actually fall in the third week of Easter, last week, is called Misericordias Domini, Latin for the merciful heart of the Lord. It takes a merciful heart to be a shepherd, and so to call this day Misericordias Domini makes for a perfect image for Good Shepherd Sunday. Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, portrays God's mercy in the flesh, the heart that God has for his creation, that he should become man and gather his people to himself in his own death. And he does that you might have life to the fullest, abundantly. But what a shepherd does, how he tends sheep, is very likely a foreign concept to many, unless you're from or driving through a certain community up north. What a shepherd in biblical times did is likely even more a foreign concept. The most your average modern person can say about shepherds is also the simplest. They tend sheep. Sheep, on the other hand, you are more probably more familiar with because pastors like to wax poetic about sheep. Stubborn animals that require a lot of care, prone to straying, eating poisonous weeds, drinking from polluted puddles, butting heads with others in the herd, and being downright disagreeable at times. And even with all of that being the case, they are practically defenseless against predators. They're cute when they're little, but an absolute handful when they grow up. That's not a very flattering picture. But it's pretty much the way it is with man before God. That's what you are being compared to when Jesus calls himself the door of the sheep and the good shepherd. That's the image that you claim for yourself when you recite Psalm 23, the psalm appointed for today. The Lord is my shepherd. To call Jesus your shepherd is to call yourself his sheep. I am Jesus' little lamb, you will sing to close the service today. Same thing. And you also know this passage from Isaiah, as it was read just over 3 weeks ago as part of the Good Friday chief service. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. You are like a sheep, stubborn, straying, requiring a lot of care, downright disagreeable at times. It's one thing to call Jesus the Good Shepherd. That's likable. The flip side implication is not as likable. You are a sheep. But you are his sheep. It can be said another way, too. Jesus is the Savior. More precisely, Jesus is my Savior. Again, that's likable, but that means that I am a poor, miserable sinner. You just confessed as much moments ago. So if you are a poor, miserable sinner, then Jesus is your Savior because, as St. Paul wrote, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So if Jesus is your good shepherd and you are his sheep, then it can also be said that if Jesus is your Savior, then you are his sinner. You confess with King David your sheepiness and being in the flock of the good shepherd when you pray Psalm 23. The psalm starts out as a brag about the goodness of the good shepherd. His sheep lack nothing, are made to lie down in the greenest of pastures and drink from still, that is, not polluted, waters. This good shepherd even restores their souls and leads them in paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. For this the soul of the sheep makes its boast in the Lord. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. This is how the soul redeemed by God in Christ responds to that redemption. The sheep has confidence in confessing Jesus as the Good Shepherd. The sinner has confidence in confessing Jesus as the Savior. Where does that confidence come from? Again, it is confessed in Psalm 23. Even as a sheep, even as a sinner, despite being surrounded by death and decay and evil all around, the Lord is with you. Look at this, dear hearers. Death and decay and evil are all around you, beyond these walls and doors, and sometimes they creep their way in here too. Nonetheless, up here, the Good Shepherd spreads a table before you where he feeds you with his own body and blood. You who have been anointed in the unpolluted living waters at the font to be a son of God. Dear saints, because Jesus is your Good Shepherd who is with you always, he anoints you and feeds you, and your cup overflows. And because Jesus, your Good Shepherd and Savior, is with you always, goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. No, I'm sorry. That translation is woefully insufficient. The Hebrew word there is better understood as chase. Goodness and mercy shall chase after you all the days of your life, because you have a Good Shepherd, the best of shepherds, who will not let anything snatch you out of his hand and from his care. Because of that, you shall dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. O Yahweh, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Jesus is Yahweh in the flesh. I am, as he repeats in today's gospel, the same God who revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush and to David as his Lord throughout the Psalms. Abraham saw the day of Christ and rejoiced. These all looked forward to Christ, the Messiah, whom you now confess to be Jesus. Jesus is the Good Shepherd of Psalm 23, the Good Shepherd of John 10, and since those are both the case, then he is the Good Shepherd of the world, whether acknowledged to be or not. All we like sheep, from Isaiah 53, is universal. All have sinned, from Romans 3, is universal. The Good Shepherd is also a universal Lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The fulfillment of all of those temple sacrificial lambs. Jesus is at one and the same time the Good Shepherd and the Lamb of God. And he is both in the same way. In today's portion of John 10, Jesus uses the image of the sheep pen to make the point. This pen in ancient days was a completely walled-off enclosure, likely built against a building or some other structure, with one narrow opening, likely a tight squeeze for an average sheep. There was no other way into or out of this pen. The shepherd would tend his sheep into the pen every night. The gatekeeper guards the entrance to the pen. He knows the shepherd and grants him access. Only the true shepherd enters through the narrow opening. Those who try to steal the sheep don't have access to the narrow opening. The Pharisees who heard Jesus use this figure of speech didn't understand what he was saying. In short, here's what Jesus was saying. He is the true shepherd. The gatekeeper is the Father, and the narrow door is Jesus' own death and resurrection. This is how it works. The true shepherd has come to lay down his life in the doorway of the world so that by his dying and rising again, He would gather his flock to himself. The gatekeeper recognizes no other death than the death of Jesus, so he grants access to no one else except the Good Shepherd and those for whom he gave his life as the sacrificed Lamb of God, who are covered and washed in his blood. The true shepherd comes by way of the narrow door of death and resurrection. Death and resurrection mark the true shepherd. He lays down his life like a sacrificial lamb for the sheep. That's what shepherds do too. They put themselves squarely in the narrow gate in order to give their life, if necessary, to guard the sheep at night. As I said, death and resurrection mark the true shepherd. Any other way is really no way at all. A savior without death and resurrection is no savior but a thief and robber, a false savior created by the father of lies, the devil. Jesus was referring to the Pharisees specifically, teachers of the law who were supposed to be teaching the people about sin and forgiveness, but were doing anything but. Instead of pointing to the death and resurrection of the suffering servant, they try to steal the sheep with legalism and moralism. Remember what I said about the characteristics of sheep? They will eat on poisonous weeds and drink from polluted waters. That's what Pharisaism, legalism, and moralism are. Sheep will bite on it because it looks so good, just like the forbidden fruit, you might recall. Sheep will take a sip because, well, they gotta drink. If you look at all of the religions and philosophies out there outside of Christianity, and real Christianity at that, all they offer is poisonous weeds and polluted water. That of legalism and moralism. They all show you yourself as the means to work your way to God, heaven, nirvana, paradise, or whatever you might want to call it. They all tell you to look within and follow your heart to find the truth. What did Jesus say about that? From within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. And St. Paul wrote, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh." The only way into the sheep pen of salvation, to the greenest of pastures of everlasting life, is the death and resurrection of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. He said as much in another of his I Ams. "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." The way to destruction is broad, but the way to everlasting life is narrow and exclusive. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. That's what saves you and the world from sin and death. No amount of legalism or moralism will work. Isaiah wrote, "All our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment." The good news is that the Good Shepherd has laid down his life for you and taken it back up again. In his death and resurrection, he has drawn you to himself. He has given you faith by his word, even as in the still waters, that is, unpolluted waters of baptism. Faith which apprehends the benefits of his death and resurrection and make them yours. He spreads his table before you, whereat he is both host and feast, feeding you with his body as bread and blood as wine, and giving you thereby the forgiveness of all your sins, life, and salvation. Now you, as a sheep of the Good Shepherd, recognize his voice. You hear him proclaimed in his word, proclaimed by his under-shepherd and your fellow sheep who proclaim to you the death and resurrection of the Savior. That under shepherd in particular speaks certain words at the command and in the stead of the good shepherd. His voice becomes for you a soothing, comforting, and strong voice of the one who created you and redeemed you. It's the voice of holy absolution, won for you in the death and resurrection of the good shepherd who claimed you in holy baptism, who feeds you in holy communion. The voices all sound different, but they come from the same man who is Yahweh, the great I am, the good shepherd, the door of the sheep. Hear his voice, for he has laid himself down in the narrow gate and gave his life for you only to take it up again and give you the victory. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. There is but one way to heaven, one way to the Father, one path to life, and that is the death of the Good Shepherd, who by his own authority laid himself down in your death to save you. He went ahead of you, and you follow as his sheep, through death to eternal life. Jesus went ahead of you through the suffering and death of the cross to resurrection and life. He's done what no one else has ever done. He died and rose again. As his sheep, you hear his voice, and by God-given faith, you follow where he leads. He leads you through life to death and back to life again, everlasting life for his name's sake. As his sheep, you hear his voice proclaim to you that for his sake and by his work alone, you are forgiven for all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.